are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. Look! Up in the sky! It's a bird! It's a plane! No, it's, well, they're not actually in the sky, but it's Oscar Blues Brewing Company. They are one of the biggest supporters of OneOfUs.net. They make all kinds of great beers. They were the first craft brewery to put beer in a can, and they've got breweries open in North Carolina, two in Colorado, and one in Austin. They're really amazing. They've been a huge support to OneOfUs.net, and we'd appreciate it if you would support them as well. Also, you guys, subscribers out there, you know who you are, or who you aren't. Please think about becoming a subscriber if you're not already. That is the way that we're able to put out all the free content as well as all the bonus content, of which there is lots of which in our forums for you guys. Become a subscriber, support OneOfUs.net, drink Oscar Blues Brewing Company, and, you know, don't be afraid to check out our other social media on Facebook, YouTube, Tumblr, Twitter. We're all over the damn place. So I just feel like I can do an impression of this entire movie straight up. First off, if you have a Blu-ray player, like I play all my stuff on my Sony PlayStation, and it has a 1.5 speed. So you can watch it and get sound at a faster speed, right? So everyone's like, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm going here. You doing it? All right. You're going there? All right, I'm doing this. And you're like, all right, I can follow it, because sometimes with the amount of movies I watch, that's how I have to watch stuff. You're like, yeah, I don't care about this. I'll just watch it. I'll put the subtitles on so I don't miss anything. So this movie, Mile 22, directed by Peter Berg, starring Mark Wahlberg, Lauren Cohen, John Malkovich, Iko Uwe, Ronda Rousey, is basically a film that if you tried to watch it like that, you would not be able to understand it, because it's already on 1.5 speed. Like, I'm pretty sure if there's a record for amount of edits in a film, this movie is at the very close to the top. But here we go. It's just bunch of, like, high-level operatives. John Wahlberg is his mother way back in the house. He's like, oh, what are you guys doing? What are you doing? Mark Wahlberg, don't worry about it, mother. We got this one. They all go in. They go, oh, my God, Russians are the bad guys. Okay, I'm grateful for that. It's about time Russians are bad guys again, right? Because we can all admit they're the bad guys, right? Oh, yeah, also, Chinese production company, so get ready for that. they... Inexplicably, after an opening scene, end up in Indonesia, where Iko Uwe is like a contact to Lauren Cohen, who's like, hey, I have some stuff on a very secret drive, but I won't give it to you till you get me out of the country, and that's why I want to get out of the country. It's against my own country. And they're like, okay, we can do that. Insert lots and lots and lots and lots of action sequences that, if they're gunfight, are really cool, and if they're martial arts, they kind of suck. Because, not because they're not choreographed well, all done by Iko Uwe, but the fact that Mark Wahlberg has no idea, or not Mark Wahlberg, Peter Berg has no idea how to shoot a martial arts film on a Hong Kong level at all. So it's like, okay, so one thing after another. Now take all that, and on top of it, insert Mark Wahlberg talking nonstop like this. I don't know, you guys. You know, it's like Russia. It's like a bomb up your ass. What would you fucking do then? What would you fucking do then? Why don't you can't get good at your job, huh? Do you want to die? I don't want to die. Let's go do this fucking thing. Jesus Christ, why am I the only competent person here? And everyone else going, yeah, he's an asshole. And that's the movie, Mile 22.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much. Am I wrong on anything here?
I actually don't have anything to add to that.
It was pretty good.
Well, that was our review then.
That is the movie.
Well, I will add, I came to realize that this is the first movie, really, in the Trump era where it's like, we're going to have all these action movies that acknowledge the fact that he's our fucking president.
Oh, that hurt me, too.
Yeah.
It began with a quote from Obama, and I was like, oh, cool!
Yeah.
And then Trump, and I was like, oh,
that was even one of those,
damn it,
like,
it's going to happen now.
Yeah, there was even one of those shots where, like, I guess the president's picture is required to be in a government office. Like, they didn't, like, show it, but I saw it in a corner. I'm like, oh, fuck, that's right, he's our president.
There's a lot of reminders of how many presidents there's been, which is a weird thing in this movie. Like, there's a thing where John Malkovich doesn't go anywhere without all his presidential bobbleheads. And really, even there's a scene where he opens up a case and he's got, like, the last 15 president bobbleheads. Like, man, I can't make the magic happen without my president bobbleheads
or some
shit.
This movie gives a shit about the wrong things.
Everybody, like, has... Everybody has their own foible, right? Mark Wahlberg with that fucking rubber band.
Yeah, because he's like, as they say, I don't know, is he bipolar? Is he manic depressive? Yeah.
He's
a poorly done smart guy with ADD.
Yeah.
Is basically what it is.
They tried really hard to make him seem smart.
They tried really
talking fast.
Hard to make him, like, an interesting character because he has a rubber band that he slaps on his wrist. And it's like, that's just a character trait. And they focus on that throughout the entire movie. It's irritating.
It's distracting.
I can't believe not one character ever goes, will you please stop snapping that fucking thing on your wrist?
Or just grabbing that shit and snapping it off.
Well, you know what? Here's what it felt like. It felt like Mark Wahlberg was his character from The Departed, except 10 years later after he's gone alcoholic and ruined his life a few times and is now, like, just fucking up killing people for a living, but then is in the universe that The Kingdom took place in that Peter Berg directed much better than this back in, like, early 2000s. And that's basically what it is. He's just a giant dick who it's fun to watch him cuss, kind of.
He's unlikable.
I mean, he's pretty unlikable. Nobody in this film is terribly likable. I mean, everybody, like you said, has a weird sort of, like it's not a personality thing,
it's
so much as
superficial.
A tick.
Well, yeah.
You know, like, the only closest it comes is Lauren Cohen, who it's established she has a ex-husband who played by director Peter Berg, and who's an asshole, or at least maybe she's an asshole. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. It barely comes into it, and she swears a lot. Everybody in here has ADD and can't stop talking and can't stop giving speeches really, really fast, and they also all have severe aggression problems.
All of what you described also describes the editor to this movie.
Oh, totally.
Severe aggression problems and ADD. Like, there's fucking UAV footage for, like, 15% of this movie. Yeah. And it's annoying. Like, why do you keep cutting to UAV footage? It's boring.
It's because it's Peter Berg's style now. Like, he started to kind of drift that way back in Kingdom, but it was reined in. And since then, he's gone, I don't want to say full-on shaky cam, because
he only films the martial arts scenes
it's
that
not
way,
quite,
which
yeah.
is a,
but
the worst possible way you can film
He films everything too close, and he edits it far too much. And, like, so I think I actually probably liked the movie more than the rest of us based on how we're all talking about it. But even then, like, I think if a normal person who has no geekdom in the movie saw this, they wouldn't have the problems that we do with the action scenes. I think they're okay. But knowing who is in that fist fight, knowing how good a job that actor can do, Eco, like, it makes it a crime. It's like, oh, this is shot like he doesn't know how to do all this.
Right. I mean,
I know he does. Shoot it like he does so we can see it.
He is arguably the greatest on-film martial artist working today. Like, he is one of the best. If you've seen the Raid films or Headshot, you know what I'm talking about. Thank God we're getting a new one that'll actually be good at Fantastic Fest this year, filmed by the guy who did the Raid movies. And you watch this and you know that he choreographed those fights, and there's just enough where you have to really focus to piece together that at one point that was a cool fight.
You have to undo the editing in your head.
and the way Berg chose to shoot it. It's embarrassing watching how poorly he doesn't understand how to shoot those scenes.
Going back to Peter Berg, he's lost a little bit of his identity, I think. Like, I wouldn't really be able to pin down what his style was early in his directing career. But I think, like, starting with Battleship, now he's on this kick where he just wants to be the next Michael Bay, and it's like,
right. He
can't do that.
This does feel, I kept thinking, this is like somebody who really loves Michael Bay, but wants to be the David Mamet of Michael Bay.
Yeah, like when I first saw Battleship.
Writing's not good enough.
Yeah, when I first saw Battleship, I was like, if I didn't know this was a Michael Bay movie, I would have thought it was a Michael Bay movie. And even the guy that hosted it at the Alamo Drafthouse, he did an interview with him, and the only thing Peter Berg said was, oh, I got to blow shit up, and that was cool. And that's literally the way Michael Bay talks.
Maybe he needs to go direct a video game, because that intro was basically a video game.
It felt like COD. Like, a lot of it felt,
What's COD?
Like, shitty. Call of Duty.
I didn't realize we were acronyming that now.
it's a thing.
Yeah.
Seemed a little fishy.
But. Yeah, we call it FPS. We call them first person shooters.
I was playing this Morgue the other day.
So it's interesting. Like, I think Peter Berg's one of those guys who probably works better without a budget. Because I'm going to keep referencing Kingdom, because I feel like Kingdom is the exact same movie but done properly. You can feel that he wants to make these big set-piece action sequences instead of making small, intimate, painful action sequences. And it ruins it as the movie gets into the third act. There's far too much CGI blood. That really drove me crazy. That everybody gets shot in the face, and it's always a CGI bullet hole that you can tell immediately.
Yeah.
I'd rather him have cut away than that. And it even gets to a point where there's a fight scene between Lauren Cohen. Yeah. Lauren Cohen and this big dude who's been hunting her through several apartments. It's an exact copy of the exact same sequence in Kingdom, except again, Kingdom did it better.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you on that entirely. Also, going back to the video game thing, this is just an escort mission from a video game, basically. Like, I kept coming back to that going, this guy's playing too many fucking video games.
There's the best character is fucking handcuffed. They have the best guy.
Why would you... I mean, it's just... It's not even metaphorical the way that Iko Uwe is handcuffed in this film, but it is. He's literally handcuffed. The movie's like, no, we gotta let Mark Wahlberg do stuff. It's like, fuck Mark Wahlberg. You've got this guy who is a legend who has two scenes in the whole movie where he gets to show off, and both of them are terribly shot. Well,
and one of them... He's still in fucking handcuffs in one of them.
So I have to say, I think we're all bypassing over the thing that was the most egregious to me, and I will speak around this as much as I can, but this movie has quite possibly the worst ending in an action film I've seen in a long time.
Really? I kind of enjoyed this.
Like, it feels like back in the early 2000s when they kept making these weird sci-fi films that were obvious franchise setups like Jumper or Push, where you're like, oh, well, I guess if I had three movies in front of me, that would be fun. Or in a TV show, that would be a really great ending.
I kind of enjoyed it because it was so ridiculous and obvious that something like that was going to happen that it just was the icing on the cake of this otherwise really predictably... Like, let's make a franchise film. And once again, like, from a Chinese film company, which we've talked about this a lot lately, how, like, China's moved into Hollywood and is co or largely producing these films, and they want to take over Hollywood. And so what far they put out movies that are watchable, but ain't nobody going to be looking at this as a classic or Skyscraper as a classic. Because
all they really care about is the international box office, not the American.
Yeah, exactly.
The frustrating thing about that, too, is, quite frankly... I like the idea for this movie. I have no qualms about them turning an escort mission from COD into a movie if it's done interestingly. And you've seen movies where it is that, like, we got to get from point A to point B.
That's literally the raid.
It's going through hell to get there. That's your story, and that's a compelling and interesting story.
If you can't film action well in this type of movie, then you have no movie.
Yeah.
You just don't.
They talk about setting up a franchise, but... Not a lot of people make it to the end of the movie, and of those people who make it with how it ends, even some of those are questionable. So it's like, I don't think that there's enough of a basis, like a bedrock for them to make another movie on, because it'd be basically almost entirely new characters.
In a way, I can kind of see how a sequel would be made, because the budget would be slashed, because you can cut out a lot of the cast.
Yeah.
Pretty much only bring the two main characters back.
Yeah,
Miles Turner 3, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, one character isn't even explained what happens.
And that pissed me off, because that was the one I liked.
Yeah, it's like, well...
Even with the character deaths in here, it's like, you don't know anything about them other than you know who these actors are. They give you just enough to go, this main character we do like likes them. And then each time, it's like, well, you're probably not going to make it, so noble death for you.
Yeah. Although, I actually, that's part of it that I kind of thought was interesting, that they're going on a suicide mission every time they go on a mission, where they're like, you know what, fuck it. If you can't walk out that door, you kill yourself. Like, no questions, no, you get captured.
You know who wouldn't be okay with that? Ethan motherfucking Hunt. No, we're going back.
Very true.
Did anybody care about these characters?
No, they were barely characters.
I cared about one, and that is the one who you don't really find out what happened to them.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many cheap things that are going on in this. It's the only thing that really separates this from other movies of its type is how psychotically fast it's edited and moves. And there's just, it's like Berg wants to create a new style that makes, it's like Michael Bay films on meth. Yeah. And it's, if that's, there are going to be people really going to attach themselves to this, but I found it very annoying. I found it very sort of like, it felt like a new Rambo film for a new generation.
And that's like a new take for Berg too, because the fast editing you're talking about isn't necessarily in action sequences. It's when people are sitting at a table talking. And there's a whole bunch of edits and cuts, and it's like, why?
He'll edit story delivery, like if people deliberating in between fight scenes.
Yeah.
And it's like, but... And
everybody talks directors. Everybody has a writer that works for them, clearly, because they've all got a list of like mini speeches they can give.
The writing was so bad.
It was just so ridiculously over the... It was somebody who thought that they were a really good writer, like writing stuff that no one ever says.
There was two lines that I was like, I kind of liked or whatever. He's like, he just doesn't like IT people. I thought I was like, oh, I get that, because I'm, like, on the other end of that, and so I totally get why someone would just be like, fuck IT people.
It's just these characters. You don't believe any of them talk this way.
You don't believe them, or you don't like them, or both.
Yeah, I mean, there's, like, and it's a lot of, like, here's an action scene going on, and there'll be 40 cuts during any given 20-second speech, like John Malkovich going, like, making some metaphorical tough guy speech about something while it's going, well, this is happening, and now here's some green, like a UV stuff, and now he's like, they're busting through a door, and now something exploding around Rousey. He's like, fuck, am I going to make it out? And, like, and the whole time, John Malkovich is an also Superman.
I will say that might be the first time I've actually enjoyed Ronda Rousey in a movie, though.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, she was a nothing character. She was just a cipher. But it was nice to see her used better than she was in the Fast and the Furious movie.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, she's just a competent lady.
I thought the opening scene of this movie was actually pretty decent. And she had some cool stuff that she did in that. She threw some people around.
I agree.
Cool.
That the whole opening scene is the only scene, you know, only sequence in this whole film that seems like it doesn't feel like it's just trying to get this over with. It's like it takes its time.
Well, it's long.
It sets it up.
Long.
It's a long sequence. There's a lot of suspense as they're all sort of like as you're watching a very competent Black Ops team set up for an attack on a Russian safe house in America, and it's pretty well done. And then the whole rest of the movie from then on is just schizophrenic.
Yeah, especially it's what I wanted the rest of the film to be. Because, like, quite frankly, the fact that the characters aren't really anything there, that can be okay. If you make it with the right kind of style, with the right pacing, basically turn it into effective tactical porn, as I like to call it, you can make a really entertaining film where the characters are empty, and that's okay that they're empty because it's really interesting to watch professionals be professional at their jobs. But, yeah, it just got too fast. There was too much that happened, and I feel like this movie needed more of a villain. Like,
because there
needed
is no,
a face there is to, no for them to oppose.
They tried.
Was a villain a little bit.
Right.
He was comedically evil.
Yeah, because everybody's like, he's the worst boss ever.
Point of knocking somebody's birthday cake.
Yeah, you don't get a birthday.
It's like, come on, man, seriously.
Yeah, he's such a
dick. Don't fuck with my cake.
Like, which, like, you can get away with him being a dick if he's... does something redeeming down the line, but he never does.
And the weird running thing throughout it keeps cutting back to two Russian characters who are having this conversation about something that's going to happen that you're like,
oh, it's obvious, all right, because they keep cutting
obviously
it.
There's a twist of some sort coming, but like none of that. I mean, like throughout the whole movie, it keeps doing it. It doesn't apply to anything that's going on.
All right.
It was like there was no reason for those scenes to be there.
Yeah.
None. All they did was just slow down the movie for a second in not a good way and make you go, what the fuck was that? For people who were like, oh yeah, I forgot how this movie started.
So I'm going to call it. So here's what I think. This movie should have been the sequel. Like, The story in the first one should have been where, like, we see them with a Russian house and follow that continuing on. We meet all the characters and really get attached to them. And then this should have been the sequel where we already know who everyone is, and it makes the twist at the end a little bit better because we have a whole movie's worth of content to relate that to. Like, this feels like it should have been a part two to
me. Mile 21 would have been like Hyperion, and this movie would be like the fall of Hyperion. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know if anyone.
Did you just reference the Dan Simmons sci-fi books?
He hasn't read those yet, though.
Yeah, I haven't read them yet. I just started reading Dan Simmons.
He's amazing.
But so I know of
them. I know too much about what's going on with Aaron's reading habits. but let's go to final thoughts. JC, you want to get us started out?
I mean, in the end, it's not something that I'd rewatch a lot, and so. You know, anyone who's listening before knows how much value I place on those. And so, you know, it's a serviceable action movie. I think it's something a lot of people will either really like or just really dislike. And so it's a little too middle of the road for me to think of too favorably. But, you know, I didn't hate my existence while watching this movie. So, you know, in that regard, I think it succeeded a little bit. There are some good moments. There's definitely potential here. I think the idea is good. We could definitely use more eco in more American movies. And he speaks English pretty well, so
really
I don't
well.
See, I don't see why.
I mean, unless he learned all his lines phonetically, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think he's been doing like a lot of interviews for this movie.
I've been told that like he's been being prepped for like 5 years now for his entrance into the American market.
Yeah.
So
yeah, so that'll be good. And Ronda Rousey, I think her role in Fast and Furious, I think was like. Right at the beginning, like way before she was mega famous from the UFC and, you know, before all the other movies that she's done. And so she's had time to improve. And I kind of look forward to seeing her in more movies too, because I think, especially now that she's in the WWE, like she's getting acting chops more regularly. And so I think that's something that'll be worked out pretty well. But yeah, I would give it 5 out of 10 bullet holes.
Aaron?
Did
I scare you?
I expected you to go around the room.
I'm trying to shake it up.
So I was in no way prepared. like, the movie was okay. I think the story is actually kind of fun. I like these kinds of very small action films that end up being really intense by the benefit of just a simple task made complex. But, like we've said, Peter Berg does not know how to shoot a fistfight with people who actually know how to have a fistfight. So there's no point to Eco Lule being in this movie. Anyone else could have done his parts. And the gunfights are interesting. The story moves. I'm really impressed with Lauren Cohen in a film. I'm glad to see her acting. And
I agree with you. I actually thought she was quite good in this.
I actually kind of enjoyed Mark Wahlberg. Although, I really wish he had had a couple of scenes of something redeeming.
He was fighting that Boston accent so hard the whole time. He was like, I'm not going to do the Boston accent. And he's like, I'll just talk in a higher tone, and maybe that'll lose it.
It's the Departed thing. He's a dick, but I kind of thought he was a funny dick. I just wish that he would have had something that wasn't, oh, you're just a giant asshole about him. Like, I think that this is a perfectly passable movie that you can go enjoy, but I would be shocked if it got a sequel. And if it gets a sequel, I really hope Peter Berg doesn't make it. I'll give it 5 out of 10 broken surgical tables.
Okay.
I don't know what the sequel would be called, because, I mean, Mile 22 is specific.
Thank you. That's the issue with setting up a franchise this.
Why wouldn't they give it, like, they should have taken his name, like, Silva Mile 22, so they had a point.
A franchise title.
What about you, Miguel?
I would say I enjoyed this movie more when it was called 16 Blocks and it was most definitely.
I kept thinking that.
Yeah. So this
Which
was,
I did not enjoy that more. I don't know. I don't think so. I think I liked both of them, but, you know.
I think I like this more than 16 Blocks.
but yeah, it's serviceable movie. I'll never need to watch this movie again. I'm kind of upset that I actually watched it. I'm not the biggest Mark Wahlberg fan. I agree with you. I really was happy to see Lauren Cohen in this. I really enjoy her acting. I think John Malkovich was utterly wasted in that role. Why is he here?
Could have been anyone.
It could have been anybody. And his hair was distracting me.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah,
weird. John Malkovich with a crew cut? What was that?
Just let him be
so
bald.
Pissed that you brought that up.
It was J. Jonah Malkovich.
Yeah. It was.
So, and then we're talking about the editing and the directing. There was at least minimum five, but I feel like it was a 10-second cut of Mark Wahlberg and the villain looking at each other intensely, just back and forth for like 10 seconds. And like, why? Why did I need that? So it was just, it was a ridiculous scene. This is a ridiculous movie. I don't know. I give it, being generous, 5 out of 10. Arched Mark Wahlberg.
Zach.
Y'all are being fucking nice to this movie. Every one of y'all said that this is a passable movie when it's not. I mean, the action scenes are nonsensical. Like, we've seen that these people, the talent behind this movie, can really make amazing choreographed fight scenes. And they're the fight scenes look cool, but you have to edit them in your head into something that's not nonsensical and not shaky. You have to figure all of that out on your own. The characters aren't likable, but that's not the actor's fault. I thought Mark Wahlberg did all right, but I thought the supporting cast did great. So it's not their fault. It's all on the director. It's all on the writing.
100% on the director.
It's all on the editing. I can't say that either, because this is a low concept movie, and you can have a successful low concept movie where it's just like, hey, let's have these eight people fuck up a bunch of bad guys in a building. They did that with The Raid. And they did that with
Dread.
It's like, you can have something that's an even more simple plot than this movie. This movie had a plot. It's just that plot fucking sucked. And the ending, like, they left it open to where you don't even know what happens with a certain character. John Malkovich, like, the ending, the directing is so cloying. John Malkovich gets shot, and he's just, like, walking out with... The one thing that I did like about this movie was actually his hair. That was fucking cool. I wanted to see what...
You like J. Jonah Malkovich.
Yeah. I mean, he could be... He's going to be Spider-Man. He's going to be in the next Spider-Man movie, right?
That's because your hairline's receding and you wish...
Is he actually?
No. No, I mean, but he could be him, right?
I mean, he has the look.
I'm putting it out there. Yeah, so this movie pissed me off because I was actually really looking forward to it. I didn't know who was directing it. I just know that Iko Uwe was in it, and
he's a legend.
Yeah, I love his talent. He's great. And now I've seen that he actually is charismatic. When he smirks a lot in this movie because that's like his character, and he's been more of a broody character in the Raid films. So that's nice, and so it's nice to see that he has a little bit more acting chops than someone who was, I mean, literally, what, 10 years ago, he was a cab driver. So, yeah, I'm...
Well-trained
in the martial arts cab driver. But, yeah, I do fuck this movie. It's a 2 out of 10 miles.
Well, I will say that I agree with you that it's the worst movie that I've seen this year, which is what you said.
Wow. Well, it's the
you
worst.
You haven't seen enough movies.
It's nowhere close to the worst movie I've seen this year.
It's the most that I've been let down because from the trailer.
You were anticipating good things.
I was thinking that the trailer was selling me because all trailers are cut.
And Peter Berger's made some really good movies before.
Yeah.
It's not, he has a decent relationship with Wahlberg as an actor director, and I was like, okay, we'll see what happens here. And I agree. I went into this, maybe not, I wouldn't know if optimistic, wildly optimistic is the right word, but optimistic to some degree, going, I hope this is going to be good. The production company seems to have a lot of confidence about this. They're already moving on trying to get a script written for a sequel. It's like they think this is good enough to get a franchise. It had some solid early reviews. So I'm like, all right. Well, and obviously Iko Uwe, who I think is just astonishing. And
I'd stick.
It's only a matter of time before he is in an American film that's the one that people go, wait, who was that guy?
Yeah.
It's not going to be this movie, though. Here's the thing. I think that for your average going to the movie, I like action movies guy who doesn't really know much about action movies, this is going to be fine. They're going to go, that was cool. I enjoyed that. I think for anybody like us who's like kind of geeky about and has seen genuinely great action movies that aren't just from America and know that there's a difference between just showing us a bunch of people dying on screen and knowing how to shoot that, this is garbage by comparison. I get that Berg is trying to appeal to this younger, arguably very right-wing audience, you know. it's not overtly political, certainly, although I do love, I guess you could call it left-wing in the sense the Russians are the bad guys. But I watch this and I go, there's so much potential happening here. There's so much money that was thrown at this thing. There's a lot of talent involved. There's a lot of people who genuinely know how to do on-screen fight action. Even Wahlberg, who's very competently done on-screen fight action before.
He went this whole movie with not a scratch on him.
Yeah.
Everybody was dying. People were blowing limbs off. Guts are out. Not a scratch.
But I would have liked to have seen, I want to see this exact same script, the exact cast, but made by, like, Gareth Edwards or Antoine Foucault.
Yeah, and Gareth Edwards had directed this film.
But not Gareth Edwards. Gareth
Evans. Yeah.
No, I'm speaking about a mainstream American director. Like, the guy who made Rogue One. Like, he has issues, but he can shoot a pretty picture.
Yeah, let's talk about the guy who did The Raid instead, Gareth. Okay.
You got the wrong Gareth.
Who would have made this?
I would have liked to have done it too.
Jaw-dropping. The fact that nobody in Hollywood hasn't driven a dump truck of gold up to that guy's house and said, we want you to do this. Right now, I feel like there's a handful at best of directors that work in the American system that know how to film that kind of action. You've got your Gavin O'Connor, who knows how to do it. You've got the Wachowski sisters, who know how to do it. And you have...
like Isaac Florentine can do it on a budget.
Yeah, who?
Isaac Florentine, the guy that Scott Adkins works with a lot.
Yeah, but, you know, once again, on a budget. So, and then you've got Gareth Evans, and it's like... That's pretty much it. And nobody else knows how to film these sequences. And it's like, do none of you guys ever sit and go, we're working with a great martial artist, one of the best in the world, who's made a lot of movies. Maybe we should sit and study his films before we shoot him in a fucking movie. But it appears that nobody does. I'm just baffled by that.
I'm waiting for that. Yeah. That's what I wanted this movie to be. That's what I've wanted for him since Star Wars, since I saw him on IMDb cast in the Star Wars movie. I was like, oh, he's going to have like an amazing fight scene. It's like, no. People, directors recognize him. They know he's a badass. They know it's going to get geeks like me into a seat. But they don't give a fuck about actually, like, giving him the space to make art.
And watching these fight scenes gave me blue balls, I swear to God, as an action fan. Because I'm just like, you can tell that there is a great sequence happening here. It just, Berg won't shoot it. He's like, just like, no, we're just going to edit the shit out of you. Where you can barely, you have to focus to figure out what's going on. Anyway, sorry, this is my final thought. So let me just finish and go, like, I thought this movie is passably entertaining, certainly. There's something about it. It's the fact that it's more manic and ADD than any movie I have ever seen that I, on some level, I'm kind of recommending it. Just going like, you should see it just because... What the fuck? It's just so insanely ADD. You're like, my God, it just never stops. And not in a good way. It's just the guy who won't stop talking to you at a party. You know? And you're just like, uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, I'm going to get a... okay. Yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh. I got... all right. That's this movie. And I'm kind of done with it. I'm going to give it... 3.5 out of 10 suicide grenades. Just saying.
I'm really disappointed no one did chocolate cake.
That's only because you love chocolate cake.